There may be one less orange available, but I'm always ready for a good squeeze.
In a town full of haters, I'm not afraid to be greater.
Oh,
yeah.
Listen, one of my favorite guests. A classic, but I love a rhyme. I'm not a rhymer. It is not a part of my culture as someone who can barely read. Like, I wish that I could do it. It honestly, it gives me shades of Tamra, and I'm here for. Remember how she used to do those, like, punchy,
She's good at punchlines. Does she rhyme, though, a lot? Does she throw her name into?
You know what? Maybe it's Tamra in feeling, if not, like, literal meaning, which, P.S., almost a rhyme. Almost.
Yeah,
almost did that. Yeah. Almost there. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 231. Big day with big news and an even bigger guest. So excited to have one of my favorite content creators, podcasters, and people back on the People's People's Couch. You know him as B Greater, a.k.a. Pet Shop Boy, host of the podcast The B-List, and a guy with a lot of thoughts, which I always love to hear. Welcome back to Andy's Girls. How are
we? It's good
we?
To be back. Back in the house. It's good to be
oh
back.
Oh, my God. You know what I
in
was
the closet.
Thinking of? In the closet. You know what I was thinking about in anticipation of having you back on the show? I remember, not to get political, but I remember mm-hmm. like in the peak of like us not knowing what was happening with the election results in mm-hmm. 2020, mm-hmm. I remember we were mm-hmm. on like a group DM thread with a bunch of us content, you know, like we had that thread going for a long time,
yeah.
which we need to get back. Yeah. And I was literally sitting in Central Park losing my mind. And you were so confident. You were like, here's what's going to happen. You were like that on election night, too. You were like, here's
yeah.
what's going to happen. And then this. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What is he even fucking talking? It was like at the worst possible moment. You were like, here's what's going to happen here. You
boom, boom,
always
boom.
Are.
I was
you
right.
Do, you were always right. You were always, when people were saying different things, you were always right.
I've got some predictions for the political future, but they're not going to be as bright. So I'm going to keep them to myself for now because this is supposed to be a light podcast. And
well,
so
I think some AGs might be like, it feels sometimes a little bit dark yeah. and stormy, but okay, let's keep yeah. it going. Talking about all things predictions, I do want to mm-hmm. get your thoughts on an announcement that just came out this afternoon.
Pull that is outbreak.
Nope.
No. Okay.
I was like, similar? No, not really. depending on how you think about it.
Yeah.
An announcement that just came out this afternoon in the Bravosphere that I do have to adjust a little bit as of moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the announcement came back, first time this has ever happened, that a housewife from one franchise is formally joining another with Beverly Hills. Housewife Taylor Armstrong, recently seen on Ultimate Girls Trip, now joining Orange County. I want to get your thoughts, but I do have to add the zhuzh, which I missed hours ago when the announcement came up. The friend of the pod, James LaRosa, was like, did you actually like read the caption that Bravo put up? And I said, absolutely, I did. And I looked at the picture and I liked it. And I moved on with my life. That Taylor's not actually joining full time. She's joining Orange County as a friend of, which I didn't realize.
The post
for
and it didn't
hours.
Say anything about friend of, though. Is it friend of?
It's friend of Bravo
oh,
said officially. So I wanted to get your thoughts. What's your reaction?
Oh,
to this?
Shit or get off the pot. But you know what? I said just like last week because Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip made me realize how much I miss Taylor and how great she was. Mm-hmm. She was a good housewife. Like she's underrated. But damn, I didn't know that. That sucks.
I know, right? Doesn't it take a little bit of the fun out of this? A little bit?
I really was looking forward to like seeing her full time with Heather Dubrow because I think that Heather and Dubrow and she would make Heather Dubrow more palatable for me, you know? Like I feel like they would make her a little more likable and I could see them connecting. I mean, not that they can't as a friend of, but it's just like I wanted her there full time. I don't want another season of full time Gina and Emily and it's so not fabulous. We're shopping at Chico's. We're eating at like, you know, random taquerias. It's just like, we're hanging out in strip malls and You know, it's just weird. I really wanted like a Beverly Hills woman full time on OC. We'll see though. Show can't get more worse. Can't get much worse. That's for sure. So,
I mean, it is a little. It's a little weird that they put you, because you. I would think, you know, just like keep your cards close. Just say she's joining the show and not necessarily assign whether it's going to be a friend of. But then I don't know if that gives backlash later. But also, if you're saying she's a friend of now, then I guess she's like, if you, the network, are saying she's a friend of, then I guess it's like she can't self-promote. You know, like even if she brings it, could she then become a housewife?
It feels like weird promotion whenever, whether it's a full-time or a friend of role, when it's being announced before we've even filmed anything. Mm-hmm. It just feels really... this happened with Ebony K. Williams. Nobody even really knew who she was. And Bravo came out with this announcement just because, oh, we've got a black person on, you know, on Real Housewives of New York, which is, you know, should have happened a long time ago. But the fact that they announced her as a full time cast member, I was like, can we maybe do like some filming first and really decide if she's going to. Right. Don't you feel that's why are we announcing these things before we've even filmed anything? Because who knows? Things could go completely. You know, there were rumors right now about Jackie from Real Housewives of New Jersey being part-time, but then it's now turned out that I think she's filmed so much and has been in so much of the drama that I think I'm hearing that she might be full-time. So
you really don't know. And with Ebony, I felt like, I think the negotiate, I see, this is where there are things that I like really truly don't look into a lot. Ratings are one of them. I really don't track ratings. And the other, when it comes to like the intricacy and legal language, even surrounding the casting process and assigning roles, that negotiation, like it made sense for to me that Ebony would be announced as full-time because it sounded like that's what the negotiation process was with casting. With Taylor, I'm like, but wait, if this is a historic shift, I mean, as you said, and like, it is a little wild that like Gina would be full-time and Taylor would be a friend of. Why are we making that determination on role right now? I really did not know this. There were hours this afternoon where I was like, she's back. She herself even said, she tweeted up the wrong fucking emoji of a fruit. She used a peach instead of an orange, but she's halfway there.
Taylor did?
She Poor did. Thing. She said, like,
she's
I'm
probably
so
never
happy
seen
to be back.
OC a day in her life. She's never watched this fucking show. Do you think it doesn't even really seem like she liked Vicky and Tamara all that much? She seemed like she was just kind of thrown into an SUV and zoomed up to the Berkshires with them, but she had no real idea why she was with these women. She's just like, you know, that's what I loved about her, though, on the show.
I mean, she's in that bucket, I think, of people who wants to be back, but who may or may not actually have existing relationships with any of the housewives from any of the franchises. Like, she seems like the kind of person, and this is not an insult, it's just the way that different people have different friendships and relationships, who's like more of an she has a lot of acquaintances, like a lot of, like, she's probably got a big social, maybe, I don't know, or maybe she keeps things very close to the vest. Like, I think that she maybe with her relationships with housewives is more like acquaintancy. I don't know how close to these women she actually is.
She's
and
a great candidate
who her intro is going to be. Yeah, you think so?
Just because I like when housewives kind of go away and then go live their lives. So you make us, they make us miss them. You know, I'm trying to think of a bad example as someone who's like constantly still in the, Kelly Dodd would be somebody, but you know, it's just like people that are constantly in the media, and I like how she kind of disappeared. And now I'm interested in seeing where her life is now, you know?
Well, the interesting part of it is we saw her at a totally different point in her life. She was, and seeing the unraveling of it, the very dark and scary reality of what her life was that became obviously such an important part of the rest of her time on the show, just kind of unpacking and dealing with that. And then her return for cameos and things, which was like successful-ish. It's, she, you know, married the guy who was her either
attorney.
Divorce attorney or bankruptcy attorney. Married somebody who was one of her attorneys. And to see that life now, see where Kennedy is, it's a whole new story for Taylor. Whole new, whole reset.
A lot lighter. She's really smart too. I mean, if you've ever heard her speak about her experiences and about her book stuff, just from a long time ago, she's pretty quick, and she's a. I like Taylor.
You know what's interesting about when you said that she could potentially buddy up with Heather Dubrow is I was actually thinking about her time on. Oh yeah, tell me.
I want someone that Heather kisses ass to. Not, you know what I mean? I feel like Heather would try to kiss up to Taylor. I would like that dynamic shift. I didn't like that Heather was kind of like top of the totem pole last season.
So you think that Heather might kiss up to Taylor because of Taylor's just history and name recognition?
Yeah, she was on a bigger show. You know, she's also an OG. I don't know if she's had as many years on the show right under her belt as Heather does, but I don't know. Maybe the Beverly Hills factor. Definitely name recognition. She's right up there with all of those women.
Yeah, there could be some mutual respect versus like sort of forcing that through with maybe what happened with Gina.
I just see her hanging out with, you know, Taylor more than I see her going to visit Gina at the casita or whatever the fuck, or the romper room or whatever the fuck house she has with the four bedrooms and eight children or some shit like that. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, and just kind of going back to your earlier point, the idea of Taylor and Heather makes sense to me, even in how Taylor operated and the friends that she was closer to her first time on Housewives on Beverly Hills. I could see that making sense because look at the way that she was very close to Adrian, who was like, I actually don't necessarily know this person and she wants me to be the godmother of her child. Like, there's something about status with Taylor that she gravitates towards, which makes me think that, you know, and I'm sure she thinks Heather's a wonderful person, but like, I think there could be like a gravitational pull for both of them that they might find value in each other, which could be interesting. And also doesn't, you know, I think people kind of assume that Taylor and Tamra are going to come in strong, but that might not be the case. They might not end up being buddy buddy.
Sure. It's hard to be friends with Tamra. History would prove. She even said that Taylor bored her. She said she was like, she made some snide comment about her in Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. It's like, blink and you miss it. But they leave dinner and she's like, runs outside with Eva and whispers to Eva that she's like, she thinks Taylor's really boring.
Oh, really? Tamra said that?
Yeah, it was towards the end of the season. It's not like a huge deal, but I'm sure Taylor's probably saw that. And
oh, it was like, note to self.
I thought it was interesting because I was like, oh, I thought Tamra was kind of fashioning herself as like a, Taylor's my buddy. We're friends. That's why when I thought back, I was like, why is Taylor in this SUV with these two women? She probably doesn't like hang out with that much.
This is going to be really fascinating because Girls Trip was often about kind of the unpacking of the fourth wall and that being the fun little reward that we get for watching. Yeah. And Housewives is much more precious and conservative and selective with how they use production. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say Taylor remembers that moment. How are they going to bring that up on camera on Housewives without completely destroying the universe?
What is the best time that the fourth wall has been broken to you?
Oh my God. Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, difficult. Oh my God. You have to tell me. I mean, I would say not iconic, historic. I mean, God help us. I don't mean this in any kind of, Denise was like of recent memory. Yeah. I would say season three reunion when Bethany was like, Kelly needed an escort back on the plane was fascinating, which we never really fully unpacked. The Taylor stuff of Camille saying the things that you're, you know, but now we're saying it. The things that you're saying behind the camera about the sad and upsetting circumstances of her marriage to Russell was a groundbreaking breaking of the fourth wall. What do you think?
Yeah. There's been so many. But there was one. Which franchise did it? Wasn't it Potomac that did it? Yeah. I think Potomac was interesting because of the footage that they showed, right?
Didn't
they
have like security winery footage? And yeah.
Where there's that, but the Michael Darby stuff.
Oh.
When they broke the fourth wall about the sexual harassment allegations and they kind of, you know what I mean? And they all kind of talked about what they knew from behind the scenes. And then they started replaying footage from like the first season when he grabbed someone's ass and all that stuff. That's interesting. But on a lighter note, I also think that the New Jersey when Teresa, they flashed back and how she kind of like was egging on Danielle to pull Margaret's hair.
Oh my God.
But then you got to see the fourth wall being broken in real time with her. Like, they told her that they're going to use the footage and then she stormed out. Yeah.
That was good. Iconic. Yeah. The look on Teresa, and then Teresa camps out in like a spare in a rocking bedroom chair. And just refuses to come out. Has a literally production.
One of my favorite my favorite little clips ever from any Real Housewives moment. Just the reaction gif of her sitting in that rocking chair and everyone's inside drinking and she's like, "Oh fuck," and she's like rocking back and forth.
I mean, I have to say, the way that you use these little like vignettes on Housewives on your social media is so genius. Is there a moment that you've used to like encapsulate maybe a pop culture news or like some sort of breaking news or something where no matter how you use it, people always respond? They're like, "Oh my God, this moment from Housewives." Is there something that you know that just gets like... Or even not Housewives, something that like you know that always gets people's attention, like that Teresa moment is great.
That Teresa moment's great. There's a lot of really good Teresa ones because she really is mostly usually just blinking with her mouth open, staring at something. She's like a mouth. Her cameos alone are so good, but there's a moment from the very first season at the dinner with Danielle. Mm-hmm. And she puts the book on the table and it's just like a gif of Teresa looking at it and her eyes are like, you know what I'm talking about? And she's like, just realizing that, well, she's like, is that a book? Because she's not seen one probably in like
ever.
Yeah.
Are those pages? Like, she's like trying to figure it out.
It would probably be that, you know, there's so many, just like everyone knows that the Nene ones are always.
Of course. Chef's kiss. Sublime.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too many.
Do you miss Nene on Atlanta? Right? Oh my God! Wow.
I love Nene. She's given her best though, but I always say this, and I always get eaten up on Twitter for this. People, get on my back about it. But I have an unpopular opinion that I think that Nene had more bad seasons than she had good. It's just that the good ones were really, really good. She was so good when she was with Kim. Kim made her palatable. She made her more appetizing. And they were just so much fun together. And then when she just lost Kim, she kind of lost the narrative and she lost the script and tried to just be like the queen bee of the show. I think, you know, it was better when it was more of an ensemble. Because the early days of Atlanta weren't just Nene. It was like Sheree was so iconic. Mm. Kim was so iconic. Mm. But then when you had to start leaning on just Nene for most of the comedy, and she, you started to realize kind of how mean-spirited she can be. She's not a very nice person. It's just we laughed at her making fun of people. But when there's not a lot of humor in between. But I'm not taking anything away from her in terms of like her making iconic pop culture moments. But I really enjoyed her a lot more in the early days. And then towards the end, I was happy to see her go. She's kind of like draining. Phaedra, I always loved. Phaedra, you could put her in a room anywhere. And I think she's just going to have fun by herself. Making up words. Grunting. Just making weird noise. Her and her mother, there was like there's like somewhere on the internet, there's like a 3-minute just like montage of them going, girl. Mm-hmm, and it's just walking around the house and eating and carrying the baby. Just, I miss those days. But yeah, Phaedra, so good. Phaedra is so great, but I don't think I necessarily need her back. And I don't think that she wants to be back. But
well, she definitely wants to go to Dubai. She definitely wants to go to Dubai, well, which is Dubai possible.
Send her to Dubai. At this point, give the keys to Tabitha. Let her take over because that shit is a mess. I don't like that show. I gave up on after like 3 episodes, 4 episodes.
I'm sorry. For some reason, I'm optimistic about
the
reunion.
They're going to revoke my BravoCon passes. Okay. They're gonna stop me at the gates. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like that panel, the Dubai panel, is just gonna be people being like, "What? Crickets? What's happened?" Yeah, like a little bit of a like. Choop, choop. So, Caroline, like we stan you, but also what is the show that we are watching? Right, it doesn't come up in conversation. It's not even that I'm actively avoiding it on AG. People, the majority of the guests that I have on watch Dubai, but nobody cares to talk about it. It's just not of curiosity. It's not raising conversation with people. It's just not.
Isn't it weird that the more iconic R-H-O-D ended up being Dallas? Isn't that fucked
wow.
up?
Wow. Oh, my God. that is.
Yeah. It's wild.
That's a take.
Something to think about. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that show. Good luck. I think, do you think anything part of it has to do with the fact that it's international?
In the sense that, like, as New Yorkers.
I just don't care. Maybe, does that make me xenophobic? Not at all, I don't think. It could be anywhere. It could be like Real Housewives of London. It could be Real Housewives of Spain, Australia. I typically only really care about the domestic ones because these are like, I think there's so much trashy about American culture, right? For lack of, right? And there's a lot there that you can like, and I think that like, for instance, like I'm interested in seeing a Real Housewives of Nashville. Why? Because like every locale is just so different. And I can't explain it, but I just feel like there's so much here. I wouldn't even know where to begin relating to something that is like international.
I get that. I mean, there is something to be said as a New Yorker. Like there's something kind of wonderful about the fact that like, you know, I live on the Upper East. Back when I took walks, walk by the Regency every goddamn day, twice a day. Like, I think that people.
It feels more tangible here.
It feels more connective. It feels like, and I think that's probably the case for people watching Atlanta who live in the Atlanta area, Beverly Hills, people in LA, or even in just Cali general.
I think innately, if you have an international one, it's going to come off more, it's going to just. There's going to be more grandeur. There's going to be like, you know, it's going to be, it's literally going to be rich people porn. And that is not what, that's not why I gravitate towards these shows. As I told you before in the past, I actually like the ones where they're fucking broke. Why do you think I love Potomac from the very jump? I loved when Karen had that linoleum countertop and that white refrigerator kitchen. She had that kind of, she had that like big screen TV, but it was behind that push glass. You know, when you have to push the glass that you're like aunt and uncle who weren't as financially stable had in the late 90s. You had to push it to open it up. I love that. Like, that's the kind of Housewives that I think is funny because trying to keep up with the Joneses is way more interesting than just rich people doing fabulous things. That's why I'm not as interested in Beverly Hills as I am in like season one Atlanta when Sheree is talking about a fashion show with no fashions, she's being foreclosed on. And I'm just like, this is so, there's so much here. You know what I mean? I'm not interested in Dubai because they're just rich and it's easy, you know?
That's such a good point. And I do want to
New Jersey, I love. They're hanging out at strip malls, eating hoagies and like fighting and fucking fighting at the posh fashion show. And they're day drunk. And look at Jennifer Aiden like vomiting in her husband's like car as he carries her out of Teresa's.
I mean,
that's fun. You don't,
it's
you
like
won't
the Olive Garden. What is the Olive Garden? Whatever. You're not just here, your family,
family
or whatever.
When you're here,
you're
your family.
That's the Real Housewives of New
Jersey.
It's
just like, that's interesting to me. I don't really, you know, that's why I love Miami. Give me tacky. Give me loud. Give me day drunk. We're talking about Kanye's dick.
Things are happening.
We got OnlyFans. I love it. It's just like, it's so, Miami, by the way, is just so good.
It's going to, I feel like this upcoming season is going to be, I know that this last season was really good, but I think it's going to be another
season. It was like a starter
season.
Kit this past season. I think why people, it resonated with a lot of people. I think it's just like at a crazy time when all the other shows were so bogged down with that. Remember when like Salt Lake City was on for 6 fucking months of the year and all we're doing is talking about Jennifer, what's her name? Jin Shah. We're talking about her legal drama, which I don't care at this point. Like either lock her up or don't. I don't care. I don't want to talk about this for another season. But it's so heavy. And then you go to Miami and it's just like the stakes are so low.
Oh,
we're talking
God.
About feet pics. We're wearing those Bottega Veneta, you know, those leather woven sandals that all the with the kitten heels that are so fucking ugly. But the women have them in every bright color. And we're all driving different color Lamborghinis. And we're, you know what I mean? And we're talking about botched bodies. And I'm like, this is good. Like, this is low stakes. It's just fun. Love it.
Also, P.S., now that Lisa and Dr. Lenny are getting a divorce.
That's what I was going to say. Now it's going to be the perfect level of a little bit of drama.
100%. But also, she's going to fucking, she would, I'm sure, fight back whenever anyone was like, maybe he's not great at being a doctor.
And
I'm
now
sure
she's
going to
go nuclear.
A stapler in someone's abdomen. Like, it's going to be story. She's just going to show up. It's going to be someone's having a serious conversation about something. She'd be, by the way, guess what happened? Lenny, like, lost a nose. Like, it's going to be absolutely batshit insane.
She's going to be the one of the messiest housewives.
Oh God, ever. We deserve. I'm so excited.
I love Lisa Hochstein. But so you know what I'm even more excited about is that she's still really good friends with Leah Black, who is to me one of the most iconic housewives ever. I call her the white Karen Huger.
Yes, she is a grand dame. She is, and she's just doing some little cameo. She's not even
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just like a little appearance. Like, well, I want her to take on more of a role. I'll take it. You gotta be grateful. I need to start with gratitude. Yeah. But starting she's with iconic. Gratitude, she is iconic. I want to get your thoughts on Atlanta, which is having a soft reboot season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are happening. Cast changes taking place. You mentioned the iconography of, fun new word, of She by Sheree being such a pivotal point and a historic point of the first season. How do you feel about the reboot that Sheree is experiencing with her return to Peachtown, USA?
I love Sheree. I've always loved Sheree. Mm-hmm. I'm glad she's back, and I think she's doing what she can to try to revitalize it, and I'm glad that she's not really fighting with everybody. She's kind of just being like, I feel like we've had like three parties for Sheree, right? It's like they're constant. Their women are like really trying to like get in her ass. It's crazy.
Yes. But
whatever. I'm happy for her. I'm happy she's back. She looks fucking great. Looks amazing.
Incredible. She looks incredible.
Week to week, I don't really enjoy the show. But then it's funny when I sit down with Jonathan, my friend Jonathan, on my podcast, and we'll talk about it. And we'll be like, yeah, I don't really like it. Da, 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 da. And then we'll end up talking about it. 40 minutes will pass. And we're like, wait, does it hit? I guess it hits. Wait, never mind everything we just said, you guys, because we've been talking about this. And now that we actually talked about it all, we're like, it kind of hits. But then another week will pass. And I'm like, I can't figure out what the problem is. But I think it's partly Drew.
Really? How so?
She doesn't seem to have any genuine connections to any of the women. She's prop heavy. She brings too many fucking props. We need to have a sit down with her. If she's back next season, they have to sit her down and be like, no more props from whatever movie set that you were once cast on. And like a
Petco.
You know,
she went to Petco before the mountain trip. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what the problem is, but I think also it's like I was talking about this with someone too. The spirit of it is not as funny anymore because like Shade it's an art. Shade is not just anybody can pick up and you can just like go in and just start being mean to people, because I think that like Marlo is terrible at Shade. All she does is attack people and make fun of their bodies, and it gets really draining, and it just feels like women being mean to each other for an hour and then we cut to next week's episode, you know? Mm-hmm. Phaedra was a Shade assassin because she would say something and in a week would pass and be like, wait a minute. Did she just read me? You know what I mean? Because she was so stealth with it.
She was very good. She was precise.
What they're doing right now, to me, is a little bit lowbrow. It's like we're fighting. We're sitting in the parking lot or the driveway. Mm-hmm. And we're just calling out insults to each other. And we're talking about Kenya's booty and whatever. And it just feels a little bit like, why are we here? Like, nobody seems to like each other, you know? I need that energy that, like, the old days when it was Kim, like I said, Kim, Nene, even Deshaun and Lisa Wu Hartwell. And I think they're trying to get that back by bringing some of those women back for cameos, but I don't know. I don't know what the problem is.
Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better.
Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine.
When it comes to Marlo and Kenya, where do you stand even in watching that animosity build and brim?
I've never really been a Kenya fan.
Okay.
But I've not necessarily been like a Kenya hater. Mm-hmm. But I guess in this probably more Marlo, just because I don't know, I have an affinity to her. I think she's kind of given more over time. I think she's a way funnier personality. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think about how iconic she was on that Africa trip. Throwing ones in the club. Mm-hmm. And then Phaedra was sticking them in her corset. And then
diving for them.
You know, like all of that. Mm-hmm. And then just everything about her. You know, I think she's just a funnier girl's girl. She seems like mm-hmm. a person that anybody can have fun with. Kenya's definitely more like, this is a job. And it seems like she's, even her like new kind of forged friendship with Drew feels very like a strategic move to keep herself aligned with at least one person, you know?
You know, I have to counter a little bit, because okay. I feel like even in watching last night's episode, which I just watched, mm-hmm. there was a lightness to Kenya.
Yeah.
Even in how she was like, kind of like, you know,
I need a lighter. Go lighter.
She was,
keep going. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Having, there was a way that she was like enjoying leaving the party, you know, being shady about it. But like, she seemed to be having a good time, laughing. Like, it just to
we're
me,
almost I, there.
We're almost there. Maybe
we're almost
really,
fucking there.
I'm really enjoying her. I know that she was acting kind of like a dick on the trip when she was actively avoiding and trying to aggravate Marlo in a way that I was like, you don't want to do this. But this week I was like, she's really having a good time. I like it. I like to see it.
There are some cities where I don't think they should ever have less than 6 or 7 housewives.
Oh.
And like the dynamic in Atlanta right now is such that like they need at least, I think at least 1 or 2 more women to kind of.
Really?
Because when we're sitting in a park in a driveway and two people are over here and then the others just have to sit there and bear and grin it while we guys figure out who's going to be
That's
the queen bee. When there's like 7 or 8 women, the drama goes wherever the people are. Right. So if that was going on. And they had like 8 women who were actually all full time. And I'm not talking about like, and they do this too much on Atlanta for me. I don't like too many friends of. I like it when everybody's a full timer. At that point, if there were 6 other women, they would be like, all right, well, fuck you too. We're going to go diamond picking or whatever. Not diamond picking.
Right.
They were like looking for crystals or pebbles or whatever the fuck.
Looking for pebbles.
At the Trumpers.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was a lot. That guy, I was like, he's got a lot of discomfort here. A lot of discomfort.
Am I making sense though? I just feel like there's some cities that need to have a more robust cast. And I think there's some cities that can really get by with just fewer.
Who do you think can get by with fewer?
I think you could get by with fewer on, I want to say even Beverly Hills. You don't need as many, but I'm
really?
Glad
really? But as long as they're good.
As long as they're good.
Yeah.
Let me think. Even
Jersey,
Miami.
I think. Oh, yeah. Miami, too.
Jersey is a really good example because they've only had 6 people, and it's worked in that. Mm. But now I'm glad that they're finally filming with
they're
more
expanding.
Women. It's time. But I think Jersey is the best example of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say New York, but I don't like New York with that few people.
New York, I feel like maybe you could have done fewer people definitely at the beginning, but not now. Because we've seen these women for so long that it just becomes like you're going to fight about Luann talking about the cabaret. Ramona's going to be a dick to somebody.
Yeah.
And Sonia's drunk. Like how many? And I mean, when you talk about the mean scale, Dorinda, oy vey, my goodness. Girls Trip was not. That's
popular opinion, but I think that season 7, when they had 8 women, was one of their bests.
Of New York had 8 women full time?
Believe so, right? They had.
Oh, was that Bethany?
Bethany came back. Dorinda was new. Ramona, Luann.
Sonia.
Sonia.
Dorinda.
Kristen. I already said Dorinda. Okay, Kristen. and.
Papa Color.
Carol.
Oh, great. Writer girl.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is
math is hard.
It's 8. That's
feels
8
like
women.
It.
It felt
That's
like
not
it.
A lot of women. That feels like a lot of women.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really and on
that was
Atlanta,
a great season.
It was a great season. It really, honestly, the rewatchability of New York, especially when they were trying to find their full when they were finding their footing after Bethany returned, when she was checked out and was like, "I don't want to be here. I'm too good for this," but yet somehow I'm back. Like, that's actually incredibly fascinating when she is forced to interact as an ensemble.
Yeah, the sweet spot, I think, was when Carol was being a mean girl with her. And they got to hang out together. Making fun of Jules's renovation, sneaking out without saying goodbye.
Oh, my God.
Those were the days.
So good. Those were That was an iconic moment in great American history, I have to say. With Atlanta, the friends of have been so important that it's interesting to see that shift take place when Marlo was finally given a peach, because it feels like there's an investment in friends of this season that's not necessarily paying off. Where they have a numbers game, there are a lot of people in scenes, but it's like, what are the value of the friends of doing to contribute to plot right now, aside from just annoying people?
I don't ever want to see that Fatima woman on my screen again.
Oh my God, what was
What drain they found her in? I don't know.
Oh no.
Yeah, showed up drunk in like pleather leggings and just trying to like, you know, and I don't even like Drew and you're making me like Drew. So you got to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even dislike a pleather legging, to be honest.
I just want to have fun like the old days on Atlanta.
What can bring back the fun, do you think? What is missing for you right now? If you had a wish list that could be granted by the Lord above at Bravo HQ, what would you ask for?
I think we have to invest in some new people, because there's no one I don't think that we could bring back at this point. So we just have to be new casting. Like, just like, I think Drew should go. I liked Sanya the first couple of episodes, and my dad's Jamaican. I love her because of that. So like, I can't wait till they go to Jamaica. My dad's actually from where Sanya's from. But I like her. She seems like a great woman. I don't necessarily think she makes like a great housewife. So I think if you took out her and Drew, maybe we could get some new people. It would be interesting on Atlanta, because it would be interesting if they had family on there, like a set of sisters or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, like literal family. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Do you want to see more of the spouses the way it...
No.
The way the... Okay, great. Nope. Love, 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 love that. Okay, great. Let's keep that specific to New Jersey.
I love them in Jersey. They're the only ones who can do it. But I don't even really want to see them stop filming the stuff. I don't care.
We don't need to see.
I'm glad that they just went on a vacation and they took like 9 women. I'm like, this is crazy. This is... We're getting somewhere.
Oh, yeah, with the Ireland trip.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, God bless. Also, some of those, I mean, Louis, my God, keep him at home. I'm okay.
Do you know how many people that would be? There would be 18 people.
Yeah, that would be.
Nashville was too much.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was definitely
a lot.
Do you
know how annoying that is? I hate when I go to like a birthday party and I have to like go to a dinner we're doing the check. There's 20 people. Mm-mm. That's every time they go out somewhere.
No, and nobody can pick up a bill for 20 people. Not with
definitely
that
not
group.
Teresa.
Maybe not Louie. Maybe before she gets married and loses half. You know, with Atlanta though, when it comes to spouses, I totally agree. But I also really, really appreciated the dynamic that we saw on Atlanta this week between Candy and Todd, not only in the conversation about like wealth distribution and how to parent and what kind of, when it comes to like financial responsibility versus money as affection, like I thought that was really great as really interesting dialogue. And then to also see that follow-up scene, which I 1,000% agreed with Todd about, where he's pushing Candy to go right back to Broadway, where she has advisors saying, maybe take a minute, what happens if the next show that you support closes? And he's like, no, do it. Like, you want to be a part of the community, tell the community that you really want to be a part of it, push yourself. Which the way that she looked at him in response, which was like, I saw real vulnerability from Candy, where she was like, thank you for saying that. Thank you for pushing me. I was like, yes, partnership. I love to see it. I love to see them work things out and push each other. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good moment.
It was a good moment.
Yeah, he has things about him I like, and then there's those moments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I just don't like the spouses so much on Atlanta. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to think of what other spouses are even... Ralph, of course.
Ralph, yeah.
Yikes.
Well, did you... I caught a clip of Watch What Happens Live and Drew was on there. I guess it was last night. Did you see that?
The only clip that...
The one that's circulating, and she's talking about it's a woman's duty to have kids, regardless if she wants to or not, because it's her duty to make her husband happy. Fuck a choice, right? And then it cut to him, Ralph... Great editing. Cuts right to him and he's got his arms crossed and he's just nodding along. And I'm like, I cannot stand this couple. Like, what? Are we living in the 1800s? Like, what?
And the wild thing is the guest next to her was Dr. Contessa, who I'm sure is like inwardly dying as this woman is just absolutely, I mean, she has every right to say what she thinks, but it's just so... awkward and disconcerting the ways that her perspective always revolves around a man happy, because what happens if he's not? Because her experience is, if Ralph isn't happy, Ralph's gonna go somewhere he shouldn't, versus what happens about your happiness? Why does your happiness not
matter? She said something about, if you don't give him a baby, he's gonna find a baby elsewhere. Excuse me? You're just telling on yourself right now, lady. She is so in the trenches. I need her to really stand up. Like, your husband makes you feel like shit for like I don't know. I hate watching their relationship. I need her off my screen, actually, now that I've talked it through. And I've given her a chance, too. I tried.
I think a lot of people did, and I really appreciated Andy's reaction in that moment. If you just watch his face the entire time, he's completely incredulous and, like, slightly horrified. And then he responds, he's like, you sound like the fucking Supreme... He didn't say fucking, I added that for fun. But you sound like the Supreme Court, and everybody laughs because it's like, or cheers, or whatever the audience response was in support of Andy's reply. Because it was like, what happened to... you making decisions for your body. Like, she starts to echo this idea that women's bodies only exist for the production of a man's seed, which gets into weird areas, because it's like the choice can be not to do this thing. To her, to her response was like, well, if, you know, you have to have a kid, and if there's not a medical reason not to do it, you have no choice. Like, for
ladies,
her, it's,
you don't have
it's ingrained
to
in her. You don't have to do shit, including not having a child at all. For her, it was such a strange moment, because you would think she would have learned something potentially, but it feels like her pathology, her thinking has only deepened as the episode has come out, which I thought was fascinating to see.
She's, it was giving Amy Coney Barrett light. Diet Amy Coney. Yeah.
It was a little bit. I wonder how that's going to come up at the reunion. I wonder what the rest of the, how the rest of the cast is going to react.
Oh, I don't. Do you think they'll even address it? It wasn't on the episode. It was on her Watch What Happens Live, so.
I think that it could come up in the sense of it was a part of the actual conversation
with her and
the episode. Yeah. I think that could come up, and also, but I wonder what she would have if she will soften even the language that she's using on the reunion. I would be curious to see how the other women react.
We'll see if she's bright enough to. I don't know. She could do that, or she'll probably just bring a prop. Hey, look over there.
Do you see her coming back? Regardless of how you feel about her time on the franchise thus far, do you think she'll be back?
I don't know that they will, because I don't think that people really care about her either way. She's not a great villain, and there's not a lot of, like, people that really sympathize a lot with her, right? It doesn't seem like she's really taken the time and, like, built up a really, like, a fan base, right? That's just from what I see, but who knows? Just because, like, Twitter is, like, the loudest people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what. But I think that most Atlanta fans are pretty vocal online, right? So...
what are you seeing when it comes to vocal responses? I don't know why I'm so fixated on this, but I mean, I guess because it's such an obvious change in the cast, but how do you feel like Twitter is because I'm not on Twitter. How do you feel that Twitter's responding to Marlo's work so far as a full-timer?
It's like hit or miss, because they still think she's funny. I think people have like a real connection to her just because she's been there for so long. But then I see a lot of stuff about people being disgusted by the way that she's, are they nephews? Just kind of like using their struggle as a storyline for herself. And especially if she's going to have them in her house and then kick them out. It's just, people have kind of issues with that, it seems, online. But to be fair, because I'm like half, my foot's like half in the door, half out on this season. I'm watching it, but I'm not like, you know, I'm waiting until my good shows get back.
What are your good shows?
Miami, Jersey. I'm waiting for the reboot of New York.
What are you hearing about?
Not
that?
Legacy, but they're
no new.
Yeah, nothing recently. Okay, but I'm hearing that they've been casting people. So
okay,
yeah.
Do you think that it will be an entire reset, totally new people who we haven't seen? Same.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Do you think that will be like the big, will we hear even anything about Legacy, do you think, until New York has been fully cast, new New York?
I heard that Legacy was already cast.
Oh, you think it was?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But this is all I've heard, but so I can't really confirm or anything like that. But I mean, I'll say who I've heard.
Yeah. Tell me.
Dorinda, Jill.
Yep.
Lou, Sonia, Tinsley.
Kelly? Oh, Tinsley. Yep.
And then I heard from a different source, Kelly also, but I don't know. You know, to be fair, I mean, I like those women, but I'll watch it. I'll dip in and out, but I'm way more interested to see the completely rebooted New York, you know?
What kind of stories, as a New Yorker and a content creator, what kind of New York housewives would you like to see cast? Like, is there a kind of archetype that hasn't been represented or that you really appreciate that you'd like to see?
Well, I've said this many, many times. Obviously, we need, you could have like two black women at least, you know, it's mm-hmm. just like mm-hmm. for the demographic. I think also we have tons of Puerto Ricans. We have many Asian people. There's just like so many people from New York that have stayed in New York and kind of like, you know, built their lives up in the city and mm-hmm. aren't necessarily mm-hmm. transplants. I would love more Jewish women. I would love to see a woman born in the Bronx. I would love, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's not anything specific. I don't want them to all just be white women in the Upper East Side. Who even hangs out in the Upper East Side? Oh, no offense. I'm sorry. You live in the Upper East Side.
I mean, I don't hang out here.
I love your apartment. I love your apartment.
No, but I don't hang out here, of course. Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's more expensive parts of downtown Brooklyn than there are even in Manhattan at this point. You know, Brooklyn Heights is so expensive.
Yeah, guys, just so you know, this is a surprise when I like talk to family back in Rhode Island, but like the Upper East Side is literally the cheapest place to find housing in Manhattan. Yeah. I got priced out of Brooklyn.
It's like an 80s idea. It's like the Trump New York idea.
Which we get. Right. When it was like the glitz and glam and like the old mm-hmm. New York, which does still exist. But we get that with legacy. You have the people who still live on the Upper East Side and represent that ideal. It's not going anywhere, but it's going to be the monopoly on legacy. So why not have different stories told on New York?
Yeah.
On New York, which is how I think of it.
And we should have women living in Brooklyn. You know, mm-hmm. I'm excited, though. I bet they'll be filming around fall.
Right? I feel like that makes a lot of sense. I keep thinking, I was saying this to somebody earlier, that I would think, based on the fact that Salt Lake was announced at BravoCon, my thinking, and because we don't know what's going to happen with any announce kind of New York around. Panel, I'm thinking you can't have a panel with a brand new cast of new people who we don't know, but you could announce them at BravoCon. You could say Andy at the start of something or maybe as a part of Watch What Happens Live, like huge announcement. Here's the cast of New York. Name them so we know who these people are. Bring them mm-hmm. out. Maybe chat with them. Maybe get a sense of like who's vibing with who, who's not, and send them on their way. Like there's a way to include it and make it feel like something. And then hopefully
when is BravoCon?
Have some sort of... mid-October, I forget the date.
Okay, yeah.
14 to 16, that might be wrong. I really don't know. We're both going, though.
Yeah. Got little passes.
I know. Thank you. Shout out to them. Shout out to our baby daddy.
Yeah.
Known as Bravo HQ. What are you most excited to see? Is there a part like a panel, a cast, a show that you're excited to see?
Did they announce what panels or anything yet? Did they do that? Okay, they did.
Not yet, but they came out with, I think on ET, there was like the whole list of people at that point who'd signed on. Yeah. I assume that more will. And I don't remember New York being a part of it because it's listed by cast, but that makes sense because everything's like kind of in flux. I'm sure that will change. But
I'd be interested in maybe seeing Miami, maybe having some of them there.
Miami's gonna be great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd be excited to see anyone. Maybe at this point now, I think the first time around, I wasn't like as huge of a Summer House fan, but now I'm like very much into it. So I think by then it'll be airing probably, I'd imagine, right? No, usually it's like actually late winter.
Yeah.
Make you
but
wait
they
for
will
it.
Be, they'll be in peak having already filmed and hating each other and stuff from whatever happens, which is great for us. That'll work out really well. You know, it makes me wonder about your thoughts about Beverly Hills, just thinking about the BravoCon of it all, because that panel was such a shit show.
Did I tell you that they interviewed me for that?
What do you mean?
Summer House?
What do you mean?
For the show.
Wait. You mean auditioned?
Yeah. Someone reached out. It was from... I'm probably not supposed to be talking about this.
Oh my god, so let's deep dive. Keep going. When did someone reach out? What happened? Tell me everything.
It was when was this? I've talked about it on my podcast though, so.
Okay, love.
3 months ago? 2 months ago? It was right when it was like late spring and someone reached out from casting. I actually even forget his name. And then they asked to speak to me, so we set up a phone interview. They called me later that day. About like a 30 to 40 minute interview, just talking about my life and what my summer plans were and stuff like that. I'm really nosy, so I just would be like, I wanted to just take the call to see what the process is
yes!
like. But yeah, we just talked about my life, and they asked me if I knew people on the show, which I do. Maybe that's how they found me.
Because I do know a couple of them.
Yeah, okay, I don't know who, but
could it have been Lindsay? Who do you know?
I met Lindsay.
I feel like you know Lindsay. Who do you know?
But I don't really like. I'm not friends with Lindsay, so I'm just like I met her and I met Danielle. Right. I know Hannah, and I think that would be it.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it. Okay, yeah. Interesting. So what happened?
Well, I don't know that I would give up. Well, we just had that one call, and then they said they're talking to other people. They asked if I had any other friends that would be interested, you know what I mean? If I had any, you know, connections or people that, so I gave them a few numbers, and they actually called a couple of my friends. But then when I asked my friend about it afterwards, he said that they had actually already contacted him before. So they had been asking around, which is good. You know that they're like looking around.
I don't know that.
I would give up. No, okay. I don't want to give up my summer to hang out with a bunch of crazy straight people in Montauk every weekend. No, I'm good. Fighting over a man that looks like a fucking thumb. Could you imagine me?
Can you believe? No, you would.
Sierra and these
out.
Girls are fighting over a man that looks like an actual thumb. I'm like, girls, y'all fight it out. I'm gonna go sit by the pool and eat these chips. I'm gonna FaceTime my mom, and when I come back in here, y'all better not be talking about Austin Kroll or any of that shit. I don't give a fuck about none of that. We better go out tonight and get fucked up. I couldn't do it. I would lose my mind. I would.
Wait, you would be so
I would
good
lose
on
my
it,
mind.
Though. You
I would know. I would.
So. I would
love cuss
to see
everyone
you lose
out.
Your mind. I know. That's what they need. They need someone to be like in the
Bring
moment.
Bring it back down to earth.
Have you met him? He is a horrible person. He's so awful as a human being. All he is tall. You're
you
only interested in tall.
And all of them, too, they're like. It's like 1 a.m. in the morning. They're like, oh, we're going to sleep. We're going to lay in the bed and eat chips. I'm sorry. I'm with Lindsay. We're sneaking out. It's 1 a.m. We're sneaking out. We sneak back in at like 5 a.m. in the morning. Maybe we have like pizza or something. I don't know. I just feel like the vibes aren't. I would lose my mind. Maybe that would be a good thing. I don't know. But that's what
happened. Nothing happened from there. It didn't lead.
Yeah,
oh
but
my
maybe
God.
They were talking to a ton of other people. You know, yeah. I'm sure. So.
I mean, it's giving big. It's an honor to be nominated energy.
Thank you.
I think that's a huge deal.
Susan Lucci.
You're going to have the next. Fuck Carol's last five summers.
I don't think I would ever do a reality show.
More
so.
Summers. Oh, you wouldn't? Would you ever?
No, my life is not interesting enough to do that. I just talk a lot, but.
You have friendships with a lot of people who are on reality TV.
Which is,
that
I think, why
be...
I know that I wouldn't want to do it.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I fully support everybody else in the reality TV arts.
Reality TV arts and sciences. We love the sacrifices that they make for our enjoyment. Is there something that would be like a deal breaker for you of like, you know what? Here's the part of it that I really, really dislike.
Dislike about?
About potentially doing a reality show, like the time that it's spent or like interacting with people who you might genuinely
hate. A lot of it would be the time
or...
that is spent. Mm-hmm. I think you would probably, a lot of the people that usually go on reality TV shows for the most part are entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people that work for themselves, they don't have like quote unquote regular jobs, daytime jobs. So it's just, that's one factor, you know, to take into account. I think also it takes up so much of your time. And I think that like maybe you kind of come out at the other end of it, spit out, and then you need to find a regular job because, you know, you're not just doing cameos all day and host, you know, or whatever kind of side gigs you have. I don't know. So, and then also just I think a lot of people come out of the woodwork. We've seen it all right with reality stuff, but I don't think any of it really seems appetizing to me. But never say never because, you know, if they ever do a gay version of Summer House, then maybe. But you know what? Even then, I think that would be even more of a red flag for me to not go because I would really lose my mind then.
Wait, but I would love that. You're like, I wouldn't. Best of luck to you, sweetie.
I'm talking a lot of shit now too, but then I know that I would probably be the person that's like Paige and Sierra sitting in bed eating a giant bag of Doritos on my cell phone. Because like part of I look at that and I'm just like, God, this is like home. I love it. It's just like they're getting paid to live the dream.
Oh my God.
They're just sitting in bed in sweatshirts hung over in front of the AC because it's too hot outside, eating chips and just FaceTiming and posting on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, I love it.
You know what? The idea of monetizing
and then go out into the
lounge.
Kitchen, fight with someone, and then come back in.
Yes.
Just go pick a fight really quick. Come back to your bedroom.
Who needs a 9 to 5? Let's have a 10 to 2. Truly. Yeah. I'm into it. Living the dream. Listen, we didn't even touch on Beverly Hills, which means you absolutely must come back before the end of the season, which, spoiler alert, is going to last until Team 2026. Sutton. Team Sutton, to the TLDR, Team Sutton for days.
Danny Junkins, your husband's gay. I'm serious, y'all. Go back and watch that Christmas episode, the one where Erica was fucked up when she was trying to look at the sheet music, and she was like, no, don't look at that girl. He said, girl. And then she said, bitch. And the way the bitch flew out of her mouth, she knew. She's around enough girls. She knows.
Oh, my God. I literally
they all know.
This is how we're ending the episode, and yet this is
yeah,
where we are.
Yeah, he's a queen. Well, you know what? That's okay. That's okay, though.
You can say that. I, as an ally, will give you the space to say the things that make me laugh.
And that's not a problem. It's okay.
Of course.
Sexuality is a spectrum.
I mean, I am here for your takes always. Listen, tell the AGs a little bit about your pod and where they can go to listen.
It's called The B-List. You can go anywhere where podcasts are streaming. Talk about a lot of current events, pop culture, slice of life. We do touch on Housewives, but we also touch on other Housewife-related stuff. Every once in a while, I'll have a Housewife on, but typically it's a lot of like writers, comedians, usually my friend Jonathan, who is hilarious, if you've ever listened when he's on. So
amazing.
It's always a fun time. Recently, I actually had Steven on.
Faces by Bravo?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, great.
Do you know Mariah Smith?
Of course I know
Mariah Smith. Yeah, she's been on recently. She's fun.
Very well. And Lauren, of course. Die for the Smith sisters.
Carrie O'Donnell is sometimes on. There's like amazing. A rotating cast of just people in my life. So I actually like to have people that I know.
Yeah.
I find that it's just like, it's okay to talk to people you don't, but it's just like so much easier when you've already been at this rodeo with them and it's just like picking up where you left off. So. Yeah, there's 100%. That. The Instagram account is Pet Shop Boy. I'm also on Twitter, @PetShopBoy. I'm not as active on there, but I retweet funny stuff. And
I love that. Guys, be funny. Maybe Pet Shop Boy will retweet you. I'm into it.
They're going to eat me up for talking about Mr. Diana.
I'm not going to. I mean, we'll see how that plays out for you. Guys, in the meantime.
Rewatch it and let me know what y'all think.
Oh, no.
He was zesty. We love it, though. We love it.
Speaking of zest, the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. I have to tell you guys, I got a satchel. As you guys know, satchels of gold are listener thoughts and feels, questions and concerns named in honor for Her Holiness Kelly Kaloran and Ben Simone. And I got a satchel of gold from Jackson and AG, I think in LA, if I remember correctly. And it was the focus of a nearly hour-long deep dive, an unbelievable examination of this most recent season of Beverly Hills, as well as another bonus episode with Bravo Bone Collector, our content creator on Instagram. So patreon.com/andysgirls to get those nearly 2 hours of content in those two episodes. Follow me on social @DameGally. Did a little thing that I'm excited to share with you guys this week. So follow me on social for that. And B, thanks so much for coming back on AG. It's always so
much
fun to chat with you.
It's always fun.
This is anytime. Great. I loved it. And Summer House, if you're listening, I don't have any interest in. I was gonna say, like, I'm great at laying in bed, but like, no, that's not for me. I mean, yeah. Hi, Carl. That's how we're gonna end this week. Now that's height. Hi. That's height for a good cause is what we'll say. Guys, hope you're all doing okay, and we will chat with you soon. Bye bye.